If you would have asked me a few years ago what an incel was, I'm almost sure I wouldn't have had a clue. If you'd asked me a few months ago, I think I would have vaguely mentioned something about men who are involuntarily celibate, which actually, it turns out, would have been wrong, because while the term incel did derive from the words involuntary celibate, now it's really evolved into something different, which foundationally revolves around a belief system that really has very little to do with celibacy and has much more to do with this idea that men are disadvantaged within society and then within dating specifically. This unfair dating system seems to be a hyper-focus for incels. While the incel world is fairly new to me, I think at some point I just couldn't look away anymore. There was that fictional Netflix series called Adolescence, released in 2025, that essentially displays incel culture, at least part of it. And to date, it was the most watched limited series on Netflix ever, meaning the only shows that topped it in terms of viewership were ongoing series with multiple seasons, which I think demonstrates that it hit a chord with society at large, probably cross-culturally. And I think most of us have a sense that it's a topic that's becoming progressively more important to address. And so I started to pay attention to try to learn more, especially about how incel culture intersects with mental health. And I decided to do this in two different ways. The first was that I joined an incel Facebook group, which honestly I don't recommend unless you're like me and you just really want to take a firsthand look. But I knew it was important, particularly to understand the incel community, because unlike just about any other group, the entirety of their interaction with each other is online within these forums. So I knew if I wanted to understand the culture, I could basically see it unfold on my screen. And then the other thing I did was that I talked with an academic researcher, Dr. Andrew Thomas, who, as far as I can tell, is the only therapist who's conducting large-scale studies about incels, and specifically on their mental health. He's from the United Kingdom, where he's a well-known expert on this, what really seems to be global phenomenon. There, he's even been invited to testify in front of the UK Parliament about it and the ways he thinks it could be addressed, which, probably not a shocker as a therapist, he thinks should include mental health interventions. So in order to convey what I learned about incel culture and how it intersects with our role as mental health professionals, I'm going to try to do something creative. One of the things I realized right away when joining this incel page was that a lot of the things being posted just didn't make sense to me. There's all this unique terminology that was being used and posts that didn't seem particularly relevant to what I thought or expected incels to be talking about. And so I'm going to convey this information going through these posts one by one and digging into what they mean. I'm going to do this through the lens of Dr. Thomas, who's spent his career working with and trying to better understand incels. A warning, this is a piece partially about the incel perspective, which is just ripe with misogyny. So just know that before deciding if this is something you want to hear. But if you do, let's click into this page together, which is really more like a window into a world we may rather ignore, but it's there whether we like it or not. So let's take a scroll. Post 1, July 25th, 1:30 a.m. Split screen picture. Clearly a screenshot of a Tinder profile. On the left side, photo of an attractive male. Travis, 31. About me. I have a criminal record for beating a woman, but we all have a past. Right side of the screen is a screenshot demonstrating about 7 different messages. One message says, "Hey, handsome." Another, "What's your favorite restaurant?" The text below, written by the poster, the incel group member, says, "Chad is a wife beater, LOL." This person had clearly just made up the dating profile as a fake account. Just some additional context for this one. I very quickly realized Chad and Stacy as recurring terms. Chad means a sexually successful man. Incels seem to have a complicated feeling about Chads. Maybe envious more than anything else, but not necessarily hateful towards them. A Stacy is an attractive, promiscuous woman. As you can imagine, the term more so than Chad is often used with vitriol. I soon learned that dating apps were a huge area of grievance within incel culture. A lot of content on these boards revolves around them. But why? What was the point the poster was making? Here's Andrew.
That's because the women aren't reading about the convicted felon part. So what they're trying to do is find evidence to support their worldview and crystallize their framework. But as with everything, you know, people have varying degrees of evidence, right? And that evidence can be poisoned by confirmation bias and negative filtering. And I will come back around. I promise you this is relevant. But there was a recent study that tried to categorize incel from non-incel men using a whole bunch of variables. And it only took two variables to be able to distinguish an incel man from a non-incel man with about 95% accuracy. And those two things were low self-esteem and insecure attachment style. And the insecure attachment style, I think, is super important. And this is what plays into the example that you were giving, because incels, they have poor social skills, they have social anxiety. And so if you ask incels how often they're trying to go outside and form friendships and relationships from friendships, they're not. If you ask them about whether they're trying to approach people, they're not. Their avoidant attachment causes them to retreat to online spaces. And so, of course, for them, the way they try to initiate relationships is through apps like Tinder. To an incel, dating apps are dating. That's it. That's the only tool. So any trend they see on the dating app, they generalize to that is how the dating world is, full stop. Even though they're extrapolating that from a very particular domain and only one setting.
Post 2, July 25th, 8:03 a.m. Repost from an account titled Manosphere. Screenshot of yet another attractive male. This one has a model-like look. The screenshot is of a TikTok video, and you can tell because the TikTok logo is in the top right corner, and there's text on the screen that reads, "The thing that separates being romantic from being creepy is how attractive you are." Text underneath, written by the account holder, says, "Chads steal our black pill facts and then post them on TikTok for millions of views."
So the Manosphere is a collection of groups of predominantly men online that go off in different directions, but they share a central core. And the central core is that they have this belief. And they call it a red pill belief, which is stolen from the Matrix, the analogy from the Matrix, which is if you take the blue pill, then you carry on as you normally are, and the status quo is maintained. If you take the red pill, you wake up and you have this whole level of realization that will help you see the world for what it really is. So they've pinched that title of red pill. And the Manosphere red pill is the idea that men are starting to wake up to the fact that even though the societal, and you understand as I say this, this is not my belief, this is just their beliefs, that the societal narrative is that women are very victimized, whereas the reality they've woken up to is that we're actually now, as a society, particularly in the West, very gynocentric. So we focus a lot on women, focus a lot on providing as many benefits to women as possible, reducing as much harm to women as possible, to the point where feminism has taken us too far, they would say, to the point where women are disproportionately benefited in society to the detriment of men. So that's the sort of wider, the sort of core Manosphere belief. Then off of that, you have lots of different groups that all then have their own spin on what they do with that piece of information and how they then follow on that perspective with something else. And incels are one of them. And the incel perspective in particular is that is a hopeless position that's never going to change. So incels will say society is female focused because of feminism. They call the shots in dating and relationship. The way that they call those shots is to only chase after the top 20% of guys. I will now never have a girlfriend and don't stand a chance. I'm hopeless. I'm bitter. I'm depressed, I'm anxious. That is the incel position. And so incels say, in addition to the red pill, that they've taken what they call the black pill, which is this hopeless realization that sex and relationships are completely off the table for them.
Post 3, July 25th, 10:20 a.m. Cropped photo of the thumbnail to the series Adolescence. Looks like it's from a Netflix screen on one side. On the other side, a picture of the young actor who played the main character in Adolescence, who was portrayed as an incel. Post reads, "Have these people never seen an incel? He isn't even ugly or strange. He just had low self-esteem. I wouldn't expect casting of an actual incel, but they couldn't even make him ugly? Yet these blue pills think this is what an incel looks like? I'm ugly, but I guess at least I'm not that dumb."
Demographically, the stereotypes are kind of all wrong, right? So incels, if you were to watch the news, people would say they're young, right-wing, what, like it's a white supremacist movement, that they're not in education, employment, or training. Whereas the research we've done, and we've replicated this several times now, they're about 40% people of color. The average age is about 20, 26, 27, but we've got 50, 60, and 70-year-olds in the sample. Most of them are either in full-time education or full-time work, and they lean slightly left politically. So demographics, they're really hard to pin down. Actually, there's some central trends, but there's so much variation. Where they have more similarities is in the psychological experience. Low self-esteem, avoidant attachment style, high rates of depression and anxiety. So we, in our last study of 600, we gave them some clinical measures, just some measures that are used as screeners in the UK. And there's a cutoff for both. And if you meet the cutoff, then the physician will normally immediately start treatment, SSRI inhibitors or therapy, for example. And about 40% of incels met the cutoff for immediate treatment with depression, and about 35 to 40% for anxiety, 1 in 5 daily thoughts of suicide, a third on a on the AQ-10, so like a neurodivergency autism screener, about a third would meet the threshold to have a clinical diagnosis. And they're super high on sensitivity to rejection and super high on victimhood. That categorizes the incel experience, and that is the stuff that you're going to be working with.
Post 4, July 26th, 3:01 p.m. Meme, three pictures of an identically sketched person, cartoon-like, vertically. In the top photo, the person has a speech bubble that says, "I love science." In the middle one, the bubble is coming from another person, off-screen, who's saying, "Science says only looks create sexual attraction." The bottom picture, the person has an angry look, crying blue tears.
So, incels have their own Wikipedia site, incels.wiki, yeah? And it's huge. And there's one webpage on there that's called Black Pill Science. Now, the last time I went on Black Pill Science, so it's the size of a PhD thesis, yeah? And it had something like 300 peer-reviewed citations on it. And so it's like, here's a point, here's a bit of evidence from a study that supports our worldview over and over and over again. And the concerning thing is you go and you look at the references they're using, and every single one is a proper, bona fide, academic, peer-reviewed publication that you would be happy to see in an undergraduate essay, yeah, in terms of an evidence base. But what they're doing is they're taking those findings, ignoring stuff that doesn't agree with their worldview, taking things one step further, so ascribing intent, and in some cases just cherry-picking research that has been followed up and disproven, and presenting it like this coherent, strong body of knowledge. But like, to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only clinician who specializes in manosphere and incel. And one of the reasons I got into that in my research work is because they were misusing some of my research and the research of my colleagues. So, for example, one of incel, and this just shows about their way they engage in motivated reasoning. So incels, any piece of research that's counter their position. So if I had a piece of research that said that women really value kindness in a partner, they will say, ah, but that's questionnaire data. So it's self-report, so it doesn't count. Sounds very critical. But then you go into this webpage and you'll find studies they're using to support their position that's based on self-report data. So self-report only doesn't count when they don't want it to count, for example.
Post 5, July 26th, 4 p.m. Post from Tobin Richardson. Me. Text reads, would anyone in this group be open to a conversation about incel culture? I'm a therapist, and I genuinely just want to learn more. Comments. Therapy is a scam. It can't change a man's looks. If you're open to trying to understand inceldom, you're going to get blackpilled. It's quite simple and obvious. Ugly, short men tend to be involuntarily celibate. Women don't want them. People don't want to admit this, lest they seem shallow. So they claim they have bad personalities or something. If you actually studied psychology, look up the halo effect. Lookism is real. To be fair, this was just a sample of the comments, not every single one. Some people were more open. One person commented, "What do you want to know?" Another person commented with just the word yes. But for sure, the overarching response was distrusting. Something I quickly learned is that incels are skeptical of therapists, which took me off guard a little bit at first. A group with extremely high rates of depression and anxiety and suicidal ideation, but seemingly against mental health professionals. Strange.
So a lot of these guys, one of the reasons they've gravitated to the forums is they feel like there's nowhere else in their life where they can air some of these ideas and talk about them. And so they're incredibly apprehensive about doing that in a therapeutic setting as well. But you get yourself in a really tough catch-22 situation as a therapist, because you need to kind of hear them out. Because one of the reasons that they are in the position that they're in is that they feel they've got no one to hear them out in society. And so they go to the forums and things get worse. And the way that you start dragging them out again is you give them another place to air those grievances, perceived grievances. And that's hard as a clinician, because you've got to sit there while they say a load of unsavory things you disagree with without colluding. But every session you do that is a pathway towards, well, they run out of steam, but they trust you some more and they build a bond. A fundamental working alliance. So you get these little nuggets of psychoeducation that I'm able to bring into it that really disrupts that framework. And then, I mean, sometimes, especially if you don't have a good working, relationship, then that causes them to double down. But it can go the other way. It can start introducing some little cracks there that you can start poking and prodding. You got to build it up slowly, and then you get to the point where you can then start pushing them. To be perfectly frank with you, it's like personality disorder work. So I do a lot of schema focus therapy with these guys, and the change is like turning a ship. You know, oftentimes you need a year's worth of sessions to get what looks like on measures minimal progress, but to them is actually life-changing. It's difficult work, because no one becomes an incel overnight, right? So no one views an Andrew Tate video or something and goes, boom, I'm now red-pilled and I'm an incel and stuff. When you talk to these guys, they have a long history. Their perceptions of being rejected by society start with the person on the school bus when they were 8 saying, no, you can't sit next to me, I don't like you. And so some of the average age of these guys, 26, 27. So by the time you've had almost 2 decades of that building up, the idea that you're going to completely change that around and do a 180 in 8 sessions, it's not going to happen. So it's tough long-term work. sense. We all have certain topics, certain areas, certain types of people where from a competence perspective, you're okay, but from a personal perspective, you're not. And so it's about having that self-awareness.
I joined this group online before talking to Andrew, so our conversation shed light on things I'd already noticed. So although I'd only joined this one group and just for a short period of time, I will say what he mentioned did check out with my observations. For example, I poked around into a lot of the specific profiles of people who were active on the group, just out of curiosity, trying to see what information they had shared about themselves publicly. And a thing that clearly checked out, without a doubt, was the propensity to post about things that seemed to demonstrate low self-esteem and perceived victimhood. The specific nature of these posts was very often about being ugly. So many of these people were writing about this in what just seemed like a matter-of-fact way, like, here's what I did today while being ugly. It seemed almost central to their identity. And then no one was commenting or engaging, just tons of these posts quietly and chronologically engraved on their digital footprint. It felt like this whole different online world, and I knew I didn't really understand what it might be like to be on the other side of that keyboard. So I did one last thing, just trying to make sense of the culture. You know that person who simply posted the word yes on my post about having a conversation with a member of the community? I talked to him, and after some initial conversations, he agreed to allow me to record. Here he is.
I am 33 years of age. I have never had a girlfriend in my entire life. And this is an issue that has been bothering me ever since I was 18. So when I was 18, that's when I first started wanting a girlfriend. And, you know, my very first crush, she completely ignored me. And this seemed to be an ongoing issue where I just could never seem to find a girlfriend. But it wasn't until, I would say, about 3 years ago that I decided to type into Google, you know, looking for answers, you know, why can't I find a girlfriend? You know, why can't I get into a relationship? You know, my cousins, everybody in my family, you know, my friends, they can all seem to get partners, but what is it about me that I can't seem to get a partner? So, you know, straight away I was pointed to the incel community, and yeah, I was pretty much online looking for answers, and I found a whole segment of men that had stories exactly the same as mine, and I'm like, holy shit, man, I can totally resonate with everything that everybody's saying. And it was a massive sense of relief because, one, I, you know, realized that I'm not the only one that has to deal with this, you know, that this is an issue that is happening globally around the world. And two, it really gave me an opportunity to share my story and to really kind of get a lot of shit off my chest, you know, having come from a background of, you know, being a loner in school, not having many friends. You know, for years I've been suffering in silence, and it's not until now that I've finally found a whole segment of people I can talk to about it. Every situation is different. So my reason for being an incel might be very, very different to somebody else's, but I would try to really challenge the black pill community because, you know, they're going to try and say, oh, it's all about looks, it's all about looks. I'm not going to say that looks aren't important, man, but because they are, I believe that for 90% of people in the manosphere, their reasons for not getting a partner is because of their mental health. Now, let's look at my situation, me being on the spectrum, having Asperger's, right? That has a major, you know, implication on you trying to get into any kind of a relationship with a woman who doesn't have those issues. I mean, if you find it very hard, like let's say if you're a good looking guy, maybe you're a 7 out of 10. Okay, that's great. You know, maybe you're getting some matches on Tinder, but what's going to happen is because, you know, maybe you don't have the ability to connect with her. Maybe you don't have the ability to be able to relate to her. She's going to leave you for a guy that's less better looking than you that can give her those things. And I've seen this situation play out multiple times. What the Manosphere really originally started out as is a support group. We're a support group. I mean, if you found yourself in this group, chances are for years or even decades, you have been searching for a partner. And we're a support group for men who can't find girlfriends to, you know, talk about our shit, share some of our stories and try to get it off our chest and then come up with some solutions. But the thing about this community is there's a lot of very, very sad men. And when you come from a background where, you know, the other kids don't want to play with you in school, you know, you're not getting invited to kids' birthday parties, you know, you're that type of guy, right? You know, maybe you're walking around the schoolyard by yourself at lunchtime recess. That stays with you. You know, I think, you know, like what a lot of people need to understand too is that, let's say, you know, you do improve your looks, you know, you improve your social skills, you know, maybe you, you know, you manage to, you know, increase your social network and you find yourself a partner. I think even when you do get your life together, I think the damage, you know, the psychological damage from, you know, long-term rejection and bullying, I think it's always going to be there. I don't think you ever really get over that. And I didn't have a community back then to fall back on and share my story with. And after all these years later, I finally got that platform. And it's just a real shame that the community is being falsely represented, because most people in the Manosphere are not full of hate misogyny. You know what I'm saying? That's just like a very small percentage. And I can tell you right now, if I was in charge of the community and if anybody ever said anything about hate, violence or misogyny, I'd kick them out of the group, because I just don't promote that. I'd say it really goes back to the fact that there's a lot of men in that group that are in a lot of emotional pain. Now, I want to say, on the other hand, that there is no excuse. Like, whilst I do understand this, I mean, coming from a background of being bullied and being rejected by my peers, you know, I can understand exactly where these men are coming from, but I look at it a different way. We all have a choice, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, some men who are in my situation with women, they choose to get very nasty, whereas with me, I choose to kind of take responsibility for my own actions, man, and realize that, you know, we all face circumstances, we do and we don't create, but really we are the ones that make the decisions, you know. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I like the way most women have treated me. Having this platform and being able to talk to people that are in my situation really has helped me out tremendously. You know, I realized that for the first time in my life, well, I have actually found somewhere where I fitted in. Like, this has never happened before, you know? I mean, everywhere I go, I never feel like I fit in. Whereas when I found this community, I'm like, yeah, I'm exactly one of these people, and I feel at home and I feel exactly where I belong.
The reality is that therapists working with clients who identify with or are just influenced by incel culture need a nuanced and non-judgmental understanding of the subculture in order to provide the most effective care. Talking to Andrew, I thought a lot about motivational interviewing and leaning into those basic skills of things like open-ended questions and reflective listening, but then also evoking change talk when it comes up. And another thing Andrew mentioned that I continue to think back on was that this is a culture that not every therapist is going to feel comfortable working with. And that's okay. It's actually really important to acknowledge that with a topic like this, because you may know very firsthand about the impact of misogyny in a way that I don't and Andrew doesn't. And so sometimes referrals really are the right decision. A short while ago, I knew next to nothing about incel culture. Now I know more, but the reality is that there's always going to be a lot more to learn. Like all communities, it's evolving always. And my personal goal is to avoid all or nothing thinking or jumping to conclusions, and instead just to remain as humble as possible. Instead of a red or a black pill, I'm opting for a red or a black pen, just to continue to take notes.